Okay, because the title here is The Beauty of Tension.
Yes.
Oh, what? Did she just say that? Really? Can those two words exist in the same sentence? Beauty and tension? Why, yes, they can. We're going to get into that today. But I know it feels like an oxymoron, right? It feels like just something that shouldn't exist together, because when we think about tension, we have all these negative emotions. We have all these, it's negative connotation that we associate with the word. And it's because when we get tense, like, we feel it in our bodies, don't we? Right? So sometimes we get tension headaches. Anybody struggle with those like I do, right? Like that dull, achy band around your head. Yes, and sometimes I get tension in my shoulders a lot. Sometimes we get tension in our stomachs. It makes us feel nauseous. Anybody know what I'm talking about today? Okay, has anybody in this room ever been tense before?
Yes.
Every single hand should be up, right? Yes, we've all experienced that. Well, here's the thing. Last week, Jeff and I took a trip to Colorado. We actually just yesterday, my daughter and I, and then Jeff this week, we all just got college degrees. So Jeff has a PhD. My youngest daughter here has her BA, and then I got my master's finally. Yeah, so thank you so much. It was funny to hear that read in the bio this morning, because that's the first time I'd heard it, so that was awesome. But we took this trip to Colorado to celebrate. You know, if you've ever been in school, you know it's a lot of hard work. And we thought, we just need to go away and just take this moment to remember this moment. So he and I went to Colorado. We're big national parks people. Anybody else a national parks person? Yes, yes, awesome. You get it. So we hit 3 national parks, and we had 1 spare day left. And I thought, what are we going to do on this spare day? And a friend of ours who actually works with me, she said, you've got to go to Colorado Springs, and you've got to visit Garden of the Gods. So I don't know if you've ever been there. If not, I'm telling you right now, put it on your bucket list, because it's incredible. It has some of the most amazing red rocks I've ever seen in my life. And it was definitely a day spent right. But that day, there's this beautiful rock there called the Balanced Rock. And I don't know if you've been there, if you've seen it, you know what I'm talking about. But in case you never get there, I brought a picture with me to show you today. This is a picture of Balanced Rock. Pretty quickly, soon. Here, there we go. And that's me, obviously pretending to hold up the rock there. Yes, it's definitely a fake. But after that picture was taken, we got back in the car and we started driving away, I thought about, wow, what a powerful illustration this picture is of what we're going to be talking about today. Especially us women, okay? So we deal with a lot of tension factors. Everybody does. But women, we deal with the mental and emotional stress of trying to balance career and family. We feel responsible for everyone and everything all the time, 24/7. And sometimes we feel relational stress if we've got young children we're caring for, or maybe aging parents. Or maybe we're in the season where we're doing both of those things at the same time. And also, we can feel the social and cultural pressure that society tells us that we have to not only do it all, but we have to look the part, right? There's these constant tensions and pressures coming on us, and it can feel like we're holding the weight of the world on our shoulders, just like in that picture. Do you know what I'm talking about this morning? Come on, I preach better when you talk back to me. So why don't you talk back to me today? That'll be good. All right. When the pressure gets to be too much, though, what do? We take a me day. We might get a mani-pedi. Maybe we just go for a walk. Maybe we listen to a relaxation app. Maybe we take a nap. That's one of my favorites. And those are all good things to do, because there are ways that we're managing our stress. But what I want to suggest to you this morning is that there are occasions when we might actually have to hold on to tension. Because releasing tension is less about trying to get rid of it and more about redirecting those energies where they need to go. Or more specifically, the beauty of it is when we learn to exchange tension for transformation, our anxiousness for assurance, and our pressure for presence. So that's where we're going today, and I need the Lord to help me, so let's just pray right now in this moment. Lord, we give you all the glory today. We ask for your spirit to just help us this morning as we listen. Would you speak loud and clear? Would you communicate your heart this morning and accomplish exactly what you want to accomplish in the name of Jesus? Amen. Okay, so here it is. My first point for today is that one of the most beautiful things about tension is that it brings transformation through prayer. When we pray, here's what happens. We align ourselves with heaven. And then prayer creates this upward tension that becomes a holy stabilizer between two fixed points, heaven and earth. Are you with me? Yeah. Okay. When we pray, we link those two realms together. And as our words rise, heaven responds. But here's what I want you to catch. Prayer is not just an opportunity to release. It is a resistance. And this is what we're going to get into. When tension shows up in our life and everything in us wants to try to run away, wants to try to escape it, wants to try to fix it, numb it, distract ourselves from it, prayer teaches us that we need to sit in it. Sit in the tension with God. Okay, but I don't want you to take my word for it this morning. We're going to go to the source, all right? Let's look at Philippians chapter 4, verse 6 and 7. These are verses that some of you know really well. I know at least one person in the room, it's their life verses. So I know these are familiar words today, but I'm hoping you're going to hear something new today. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and mind in Christ Jesus. Did you catch this? The Lord doesn't say, tell me your problems and I'm going to change your situation right away. He says, tell me what's got you worked up. Tell me what's got you all tense. Tell me what's troubling your mind. And the very first thing I'm going to do is I'm going to give you my peace. Do you see that up there? We can make our supplications and he says, here's my peace. He doesn't just jump in and fix situations right away. The first thing he does is give us our peace. Prayer doesn't always remove tension right away. I want you to understand that. But what it does is it exchanges what tension is producing in us with what God wants to produce in us. Okay, so here it is. Our tension, it produces worry. It produces anxiousness. It produces fear. But what's God produce? Oh, he produces faith, right? He produces courage. He produces peace. And we could go on and on and on. And that is the beauty of why we have to sit in that tension. But here's the thing, if we're honest, I think most of us would say, we're okay with talking to God. We're totally comfortable with that. But it's a little bit uncomfortable to try to sit in that tension with God. And that's because sitting in that tension requires trust. It requires us to believe that even when nothing is changing around us, still something is happening within us. Do you hear what I'm saying this morning? Yes. And I believe that one of the reasons, that's really one of the reasons why we have to heed the words of Jesus when he teaches us how to pray in Matthew chapter 6. Let's look at this verse together. Verse 10, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Another familiar verse to us. But I want you to hear this today, friends. This is not a passive prayer. This is a pulling prayer. Okay, it goes like this. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Do you feel the tension in that prayer? Do you hear what I'm trying to say today? Jesus teaches us to pray like that because when we do, we stand in the tension between what is and what should be. When we pray, your kingdom come, your will be done, we are grabbing a hold of God's promises on one side and our reality on the other side, and we're refusing to let the tension snap. Because we know that somewhere in that stretch, God is working. And you're saying right there in that moment, you're declaring, God, I am not going to let go until heaven touches earth. It's so much more than us just hoping that something is going to change. It's us partnering with heaven to pull the change down. And ladies, I think it's interesting that I'm speaking this to you on Mother's Day because we really understand this concept instinctively. We speak identity over our family members before they ever believe it. We speak protection before danger ever becomes an issue. Do you know what I'm talking about? We declare purpose before it ever manifests. That is an instinctive thing that we do. And really, when we're doing that, what's happening is we're pulling heaven's realities into our earthly experience. And that work that we're doing, it might feel invisible, but it is eternal. So keep it up. Keep leaning into the beauty of tension because it leads to transformation. How are we doing so far? Okay, point number two, here we go. The second most beautiful thing about tension is that it allows us to exchange anxiousness for assurance through the word, okay? So have you ever noticed how tension has a way of just distorting everything we believe? Mm-hmm. Yeah. When that pressure builds, our perspective can get blurry. We start believing things that aren't true. We jump to worst case scenario and on, right? And if we're not careful, we even let our feelings start taking the lead. And the problem with that is that sometimes our emotions can speak louder to us than God's word. So what we have to do is we have to recalibrate ourselves. And we do that by standing on the word of God. The word doesn't always remove the tension, just like we talked about with prayer, doesn't always remove it. But what the word does is it redefines that tension for us. Let's look at that together in Hebrews 6:19. The first half of it, it says, we have this, meaning hope, as a sure and steadfast anchor of the soul. If you're following along, your version might say firm and secure. But I love this verse because it's telling us that our hope is not just powerful imagery, it's a powerful tool. The writer of Hebrews, who could have been a woman, by the way, just saying, you know, there's some theologians that would argue that. We don't know for sure. But the writer tells us that our hope is sure and steadfast, firm and secure like an anchor. And why is this important? It's important because an anchor is not just some cute decoration we see hanging on the wall of every oceanfront Airbnb. Right, Pastor Michelle? I know you love the beach. I know you do, just like me. Yeah. But that's not its purpose. It's not a wall decoration. An anchor, especially an anchor of hope, has a better purpose than that. And that's purpose is not to just stop the storm. It's not to stop the storm at all. Its purpose is to keep us steady in it. Its purpose is not meant to stop the waves. Its purpose is to stop us from drifting. And I love this morning. Who put together the worship set this morning? Arabella. I'm just going to stop and say this right now. Thank you for spending time in the throne room. It was very evident to me this morning with every song that you sang, every lyric, how perfectly it lines up with this message that you had no idea I was going to share today. And that's only because you have kept the tension on prayer. It's only because you have kept the tension on the word of God. And so you are an incredible, incredible worship leader. The whole team, Keisha, Arium. I mean, I was so close. Oh, I was going to have it. Jason. Who helped me this morning? Sarah. Michaela. It is evident to me, even the pre-service prayer, you guys already have a strong foundation of what we're talking about this morning. You're spending the time in the prayer and in the word. And so I think today we're solidifying a little bit of that, maybe going to the next level. But I just want to make sure that I said that this morning. I felt so strongly in my spirit that I need to recognize the person that put worship together. I didn't know it was you, but there you go. All right, now, can I challenge us this morning to understand that sometimes when we feel delay, it's actually development that's taking place. You hear that? Some of us, we have been trying so hard in our lives to just eliminate the tension, to just get rid of it because it's uncomfortable, when really what the Lord is saying is that he wants you to stay anchored in it for a minute, because the problem isn't always the pressure around us. It's the storm and the drift within us. And our anxiousness is always going to try to pull us off course. which is why we have to really look at the second part of this verse in Hebrews to understand why, where we find our hope. It says, we have this as a sure and steadfast anchor of the soul, a hope that enters into the holy place behind the curtain where Jesus has gone as a forerunner on our behalf, having become a high priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. Our hope is found in Jesus. He's the forerunner who has already gone before us. He's already passed through the curtain. And because he went ahead of us, we now have access to what was once inaccessible. He is our mediator. He is our intercessor. He is our connector to heaven's realities. Which means when we feel tension on this side of heaven, we are still tied to something secure on the other side. And we're called to live like that, to set our minds above the clouds, to keep our minds set on things above. Because what Jesus sees, he sees every day the fulfillment of his word. He sees every day the fulfillment of his promises. He sees the fulfillment of heaven becoming a reality on this earth. And you know, I know that sometimes we live in a space of hope between that area of promise and fulfillment, between his word and our breakthrough, between what God said and what we see. But I want you to hear me today that space is not empty space. It's a holy place. And it's a place that says, I don't see it yet, but because you said it, I'm going to trust you and I'm going to stand in this tension until what you say becomes what I see. And when we do that, it helps us so much, because even when there's nothing moving around us, still there's no drift within us. And when we reach that point, we realize that beautiful exchange takes place where we trade our anxiousness for his assurance. I love how the psalmist puts this in Psalm 130, verses 5 and 6. These are actually some of my life verses, so I'll tell you right now, I'm going to get excited about them. But it says, I wait for the Lord, my soul waits, and in his word I put my hope. My soul waits for the Lord more than watchmen for the morning, more than watchmen for the morning. Now, what I want you to notice about this verse is it does not say, I panic for the Lord. It says, I wait. And guess what? This is the coolest thing to me. It's not a passive wait. The Hebrew word here is kavah, which means to hope with tension, to wait with tension. Isn't that the coolest? Can you just imagine the psalmist, like, all tense with hope, or the watchman, you know? I mean, that's just incredible to me to know that means to hope with tension. But I want to try to illustrate this for you in a little bit different way this morning through a sermon illustration. So I'm going to invite Anna to come, and she's going to help me with this. Give her some encouragement, a little round of applause. I'll have you stand over here. Awesome. Hey, I don't know how much you know this young lady, but she is an incredible girl. Let me tell you, I have just really gotten to know you, in the past year or so, and she is phenomenal. Talk about gifts. My goodness, she can do something with words that I did not know were possible with words. The way that she writes music, is a lyricist. Your No Bars song, funny. I mean, this girl, she's incredible. And I'm also going to take a minute. I didn't have any of this planned, but I want you to know that I'm going to take a minute and speak something to you. So last year, my husband and I were teaching a class at Synergy. How many people have ever been to Synergy? Okay, good. And sometimes the Lord will do this to me, and he did it that day. I was just speaking my things, and I was looking around the room at those I was instructing, and all of a sudden, Anna, who's in the class, I just saw her face, and the Lord just highlighted her for me and said this one. And he's done that many times. And when he does that, when he points somebody out to me, I know that he's wanting to get my attention, and it could be for many different reasons. But I felt like she was someone that I needed to get to know. And then, so we've been getting to know each other, because I feel like the Lord has a special call in her life. And I don't just mean that I mean, we're all called, and God has good plans for us all. So do not forget that, and do not misunderstand what I'm saying here. But there was something very special highlighted for me that day in Anna. And I don't know what it means, but even during praise and worship, I just felt like the Lord was saying, she's my advocate. And so there's some sort of advocacy in your future or something like that. I don't know. It's not for me to figure out. But what I do know is I felt like he said, you don't know quite what's ahead yet, and you've been wondering yourself. Like, you've been trying to search and figure it out, but the reason that you can't figure it out yet is because you don't have context for it. You're not going to be able to understand it yet, and so I don't know. I don't know what's ahead for her. This might be the next congressman, you know, right? Congresswoman, right? Congresswoman. Who knows? Maybe she's the next Billy Graham. I don't know. Here's what I'm excited about, that she's helped me with this sermon illustration today. And she's still willing to help me, even though I just embarrassed her a lot. So thank you, Anna. But here's what I want to do. I want to give us an illustration about hoping with tension. And so, Anna, I'm going to ask that you hold, hopefully it's not tangled up, all right, one end of this string, just kind of tightly. Go ahead and scooch down as far as you can. I didn't realize I cut the string so long. Okay. And then I just want you to let it hang limp there for a minute. So what we see is nothing remarkable about this piece of string, right? It's just there. It's got no strength whatsoever. It's just hanging limp. And if she were to just kind of twirl it around, just kind of move it around, we can see that it would be easy for that piece of string to just entangle on something else or attach itself to something else because there's no direction. Not only does that string have no strength right now, it has no direction. But if I were to grab the other end of this string and pull it tight like this, we see something different now. I feel tension. Do you feel tension, Anna? Yeah. Do you guys see the resistance and the tension right now in the line that you didn't see before? Mm-hmm. Because this tension is telling us that two things, that there's strength right now in this line, because that this end is connected to something on this end. Does that make sense? And what I want to help us to understand this morning, friends, is that sometimes we might feel stretched, but I want to suggest to you that tension might actually be confirmation of connection that you're feeling. Okay, that stretching is not abandonment, it's engagement. On one side, we might hold our reality. We might hold, I'm trying to do this with the microphone here. Okay, we might hold our reality, our worry, our anxiousness, our unanswered questions. But on this side, we have God's promises. We have his provision, his power. And that connects, how we're connected is through the unfailing word of God that never returns void. It keeps us connected to both things at the same time. So that's why when we hope with tension, like the psalmist said, because we aren't just anchored to a promise, we are tethered to a person. Our hope is not anchored in when something will happen, it's anchored in who said it will be done. Thank you, Anna. Didn't she do a great job? Yeah. I'm hoping she speaks to me after this. All right. Friends, before God will ever change our circumstances, he often gives us the strength to carry those things. Before he ever lifts our burden, he pours out his peace. Before our breakthrough ever comes, our becoming happens. And I want to speak to the woman this morning who is tired. Maybe you've been tired of sitting in the tension. Maybe you've been tired of waiting. I want to encourage you, do not let the line go slack. Generations upon generations have been rescued because somebody did not let up on the tension. Somebody refused to let the line go slack. They stayed committed to prayer. They stayed committed to the word. You are here today because someone in your family said, I'm not going to give up on them. I'm not going to let the line go slack. We got to keep it tight. We've got to keep attached to it because we know who's on the other end. And the final thing that I want to talk to you about today, the third point is this. The most beautiful thing about tension is the invitation we have to exchange pressure for presence. Tension, and I've learned this the hard way in my life, it often builds when we're trying to hold it all together. Do you know what I'm talking about? When we try to grip as hard as we can those timelines, those people, those expectations. And the funny thing about tension, though, is the harder we try to grip it, that's where, like, we have our control issues, right? That's where the control, it increases. It causes more anxiety. And at some point, we have to actually ask ourselves, is this holding me or am I holding it, right? Because that's what happens to us. We think that we're in control. We think we're holding it all together when really it's got a grip on us. In Matthew chapter 11, verse 28, another verse that we know well today, come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden. Other translations you might be reading from this morning, weary or burdened, and I will give you rest. But what I want you to notice this morning is that Jesus doesn't say, I'll remove everything. He says, come to me. That's because we have to understand that the exchange is not situational, it's relational. Surrender is not about us giving up. It's about us handing over. It's releasing our grip on what we were never meant to carry in the first place. Because when we surrender, we're not losing control. We're trading our pressure for his presence. We're stepping out of striving. We're stepping into abiding. We remove ourselves from, I have to figure this out, to God, I trust you to carry this through. And friends, if you hear nothing else I say today, I want you to hear this next sentence. All right, get your notes out in your phone, grab a pen, piece of paper. This is the one thing I really want you to take away today. Jesus is not the path of least resistance. He is the path of no resistance. And he invites us with arms wide open to come. In Song of Solomon, we see the same words, similar words echoed in chapter 2, verse 10. It says, my beloved speaks, and he says to me, arise, my love, my beautiful one, and come away. Do you see the likeness between the Matthew and Song of Solomon? Jesus says, come to me, and the beloved here is saying, come away. They are a little bit different words, but it's the same invitation. God is not standing over us this morning, demanding that we release our things to him, but he is standing near us, offering us relationship. He's saying, come away with me. And what I've really had to learn in my own life even is that we don't move out of pressure by spending time problem solving. We move out of pressure by spending time in his presence. I said that's been a challenge for me because I literally think actually one of my gifts is problem solving. And so I automatically always just want to jump to, well, I know exactly what to do. Let's do this. That's not the answer all the time. It's spending time in his presence. And some of us have believed the lie that we just really need to get it all together before we come to God. But he doesn't extend the invitation to come to him because we have everything figured out. He extends the invitation to come to him because it is our holy privilege as joint heirs to the throne. We get to come into his presence because we are sons and daughters of the King, and it is our birthright, right? What I really love about this verse is that we are called beautiful before we ever move. So what does that mean? He doesn't say, arise, my love, the one who has potential for beauty, right? He's calling us beautiful because we're his children. It's our identity. So ladies, he doesn't tell us that we can only come after all the laundry is washed and dried and folded and put away. He says you can come right now. You don't have to come until we have to wait until after you put your face on in the morning. No, that's not a requirement either. And that's because, yes, I agree with that. I'm not a big fan of makeup. But that's because surrender is not driven by pressure. It is drawn by love. And here's the truth. We don't have to hold the tension and ourselves together at the same time. God says, come away, and I'll hold it together for you. Because the one who is calling us is also the one who will carry us.